Good morning. Well, this morning we are continuing in our series called Living in the Light as we continue to work through the book of 1 John. And this morning I want to start by asking a question. And that question is this. What is hate? What is hate? When you think about it, if someone pressed you on it, if somebody asked you for a definition of the word hate, what would you say?
Extreme anger.
Extreme anger, okay. Good, I'm glad someone realized it wasn't rhetorical. Anybody else?
Wishing ill on someone.
Okay, good. Anybody else have another thought on this?
The opposite of love.
The opposite of love, okay. All right, so whatever you have in your mind as far as what you're thinking right now with regards to what is hate, I want you to hold on to that thought. We're going to come back and we're going to re-examine this question a little bit later in the message. So, but in order to get to the place where we can talk about the part of the passage that talks about love and hate, we need to back up a little bit to understand a little bit of what came before that passage. So let's have a look at the context here. So, if you have your Bible, please turn to 1 John chapter 2, and we will start in verse 3. All right, it says this. It says, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them." So when I look at this passage, when I read this passage, immediately a question springs to mind, and that's this. How does obedience prove love? Now, I'm going to let you into a little bit of some insight into how my mind works. Often when I think of a question, it leads me to another question. And so when I see the question, how does obedience prove love? I began to think about, okay, well, if I think about my own life, what are situations where I would willingly choose to obey somebody? So if I think about situations in my life where I'm asked to obey somebody, maybe it's your job, maybe if you're a kid, it's your parents, whatever the situation is, think of a situation where you would willingly obey somebody, all right? What would that look like? Well, for me, a situation where I would willingly obey for somebody, not because I had to or because I felt somehow coerced or something of that nature, but because I willingly wanted or desired to, the situation would have to be a situation where I trusted that that person had my best interest in mind. If I knew and if I believed in my heart that that person was always going to look out for my best interest, it would be a lot easier in that situation then to willingly choose to obey them. And so I think that actually obedience proves love because obedience proves trust. Obedience just proves trust. Now think about it when it comes to God. If we truly trust that God has our best interests at heart, not that he's holding out on us, not that he's a killjoy or whatever hang-ups you might have about God, but if you truly believe that he has your best interest at heart, then you will trust him and you will choose to obey the things he asks you to do and the things that he asks you not to do, and you will live in obedience. Not because you're forced to or you have to, but because you desire to, because you trust and love him. And so in my mind, obedience proves love because obedience proves trust. So with that kind of context in mind, let's examine the passage in 1 John chapter 2 in verse 7 and 8. It says, "Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command, and its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Now this passage is could be a little bit confusing. Like, what is John on about here? What is this old and yet new command? How can it be both old and new? Well, when you think about John, and you think about what kind of commands, what kind of things does he hold up in the messages that he brings forth? Well, both in 1 John and actually in the Gospel of John, the thing that John is big on, and as we'll see in this passage, it's the same, is this whole idea of love. John refers to him as the one Jesus loves, the disciple that Jesus loves. He puts forward this whole idea that when Jesus is asked, what's the greatest command? He says, what? He says, the greatest command is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul and your mind. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. So this old yet new command, so John's saying, from the very beginning I've told you that you need to love God and you need to love others. From the very beginning. But the reason that it's new and it's fresh is that it applies to their context. It applies to what's going on in their lives. There's this newness, this freshness of us actually taking what is taught, the commands that we've heard, and actually then applying them to our own lives. And when we do that, it's old and yet new and fresh. And so this old yet new command is to love one another as Christ loved us. So if the command is to love as Christ loved us, how did Christ love? Sacrificially, right? He was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to give up his own life that we might be able to enter into this right relationship with God. Christ loved in sacrificial ways. And so if we are to love as Christ loves, it means that we need to put others' interests above our own. We have to love sacrificially. It can't be all about us. So with this in mind, the passage continues and it says, if anyone claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister, they're still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. So I want us to come back to the question that we had at the beginning. What is hate? Well, if we are to frame it according to the metaphor that John gives us, he gives us a metaphor that we see in a lot of other places in Scripture, this whole idea of light and darkness. And light, of course, representing good, all that is good and love and all these kinds of things. And then over here we have darkness. And darkness symbolizes evil and, in this case, hate. Well, when you think about darkness and light, what really is darkness? Well, to illustrate what I mean, I want to tell you a little bit of a story. Last summer, we were back in Alberta visiting our family in southern Alberta, and we went to a place called Frank Slide. And at that place, they have a place where you can go on a mine tour. And so they take you deep down into this coal mine. And one of the things they do when you're deep down in the coal mine, you have headlamps on, and they say, all right, everybody turn off their headlamps. Everybody turns on their headlamps, and you're deep, deep underground, and it is pitch black. Like, you can see absolutely nothing because there's no light down there. But then as soon as you were to switch back on your headlamp, light invades the darkness, and you can see clearly again. And really, then, what darkness is darkness is simply the absence of light. And so what hatred is hatred is actually simply the absence of love. It's the absence of love. And when you think about love in a biblical context, love is more than just the emotion we feel, although that is certainly part of it. Love, the way Scripture defines it, always involves action. It always involves showing that love through action. And so really, we could take it a step further and we could say that what hate is hate is actually the absence of deeds of love. That's essentially what hate is. And so when we think about this whole context of hate in the context of light and darkness, there are varying degrees of darkness, right? I mean, you have, at the far extreme, you have deep darkness, like what I described in that mine, but you have varying degrees of darkness. I mean, I grew up in the country. When I first moved to the city, it took me forever to be able to sleep at night, because dark in the city is different than dark in the country. There's lights everywhere in the city, and so it's not truly completely dark, ever. And so there's varying degrees of darkness. And I would say that this is true when it comes to hatred. There are various points where we can choose darkness over light, and we can choose things that move us away from love and towards hatred. Very few of us start out on the road to hatred and just immediately choose hatred. For most of us, it starts off with some kind of offense, right? Somebody did something to hurt us. Somebody did something to harm us. And along the way, things started to shift in our heart. Maybe it started off with hurt, or maybe it started off with something a little stronger. Maybe it started off with a reaction of being angry that that person had hurt us that way. And slowly over time, maybe as more hurts come, or whatever that looks like, or as you dwell on that hurt, as you choose not to release that hurt, what eventually happens is that begins to build. And maybe anger starts to develop more into like resentment or bitterness. And it might not ever get to full-blown hatred. But every step that we get closer to hatred is a step that blinds us from the way that God intended us to live our lives in relationship with one another. And that's how hatred begins to darken us. It moves us slowly away from the light and the love of God and the love for others towards hatred. See, I believe that hate is actually an attitude that has become a habit. It starts off with this attitude we have towards somebody, and we begin to form harmful habits in our life that deepen that. So when I think about my own life, there was a season where I had resentment towards a person in my life. And this person, part of the reason why I began to resent this person is this person was very, very negative. They were regularly speaking negative words into my life. It didn't matter how hard I seemed to try, I always felt like I never was good enough for this person. There was always a negative word being spoken. And what I began to do, as that resentment in me kind of grew, is I began to form a habit in my life of becoming defensive. Whenever this person would speak negativity, I would get really defensive and try to prove to them that that wasn't the case. But the problem is, resentment and these kind of habits we build in our lives, they never end up just affecting that relationship, do they? I ended up becoming defensive in almost all my relationships, right? Anybody would speak a word of truth or a word of correction into my life, and my immediate posture was defensiveness. Even if it was coming from a place of well-meaning desire to help me grow, my spirit in that time had a defensiveness against any kind of negative word. And the problem is that actually that actually didn't allow me to enter into a fullness of relationship with people. Because if you're going to have a fullness of relationship with somebody, if you're going to have a deep and meaningful relationship with somebody, there has to be the ability to speak the truth in love, both in the positive sense and also in the corrective, constructive criticism type of way. And so I had to come to a point where I had to let go of that resentment in my heart. And then it became a process of unlearning the habits that I had created from that resentment. And so I've become less defensive, but there's still times when I have to catch myself and I have to choose not to become defensive when someone wants to say something into my life that maybe has a tone of criticism in it. Because for so long, I had allowed that attitude to form a habit in my life. The passage continues in 1 John 2:11, and it says this. It says, "But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them." And when I thought about this passage, I thought about my grandfather. He got those kind of transition glasses, you know, the ones that I'm talking about, like as you go into brighter situations, they get darker and darker. First time when I was young and I saw them, I was like, what is going on? But I imagine, like, what if hatred is kind of like the tint, but instead of like kind of leveling off so that we can still see, it just gets darker and darker and darker until we can't see at all. We can't see clearly at all the path that God has for us. We can't walk into the purposes He's created us to walk into because we're so blinded and so consumed by this bitterness in our hearts. And it blinds us from seeing the truth about people, too. We sometimes choose to believe stories about people that aren't necessarily accurate, but they're stories that we tell ourselves about those people because of the lens of bitterness or resentment or hurt that we see people through. And I don't think that this is what God desires for us. I think God wants us to walk in the freedom of experiencing His love and being set free from that. To be able to see clearly how He would desire for us to live our lives. And so the question I want to ask this morning is this: will you let the light of God's love transform the darkness in you? Will you say, I have been carrying this around for long enough? It's time to let it go. And today might be the mark in the sand, but there's going to be a working out of it. Because there's a, yes, I'm letting go of this, but then there's also part of the letting go is actually to begin to take steps to deal with that in your heart and to walk away from that and towards freedom in that area. And that sometimes takes time. But will you choose today to say, I'm letting go of this. I'm not going to hold on to this. This is not healthy for me in my life. Will you choose today to forgive? Will you choose forgiveness? And you might say, yeah, Ryan, but you don't understand. You don't understand how much this person hurt me. I can't forgive them. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. And you might be right. You might very well be right. They don't deserve it. But what if God had the same attitude towards us? What if God, what, I mean, when I look at Scripture, I don't ever see Jesus say, you know, God, the Father, I can't do the cross because those people really don't deserve it. They just really don't deserve it. I mean, have you seen the kinds of things these people do sometimes? Come on. you won't find it. Jesus even asks the Father to forgive those who are crucifying him. And I understand that there are toxic people out there, and that even if you choose to forgive somebody and let go of the resentment, it might mean that you can't be in relationship with that person because they're just a toxic person. I get that. I understand that. I'm not saying that there aren't still consequences to people's actions who have done harmful things, and maybe part of that is they can't be in that relationship with you anymore. Fair enough. But you still have to choose to let go of it in your own heart because it will end up destroying and consuming you. It will wreck other relationships. And so will you today choose to just say, I'm not holding on to this anymore. This grudge, I'm letting go of it. This bitterness in my heart, I'm letting go of it. I am going to choose to have my heart be in a posture of forgiveness towards that person. And I would challenge you to do it today. Maybe even that person is in this room right now and you need to do that. Feel free to do it. Maybe they're not, and maybe you need to take steps today or this week or as soon as possible to do that. And maybe it doesn't involve even having a conversation with them. Maybe that's not possible or that would be dangerous for you. Maybe it just means that for you, you just have to shift your heart towards choosing to forgive and just spending time in prayer with God, just saying, I release this to you. I don't want to carry this anymore. What we're going to do right now is a couple people from the worship team, they're going to come and they're going to play a song, but this morning it's going to look a little bit different. We're not going to join in with the worship team in singing worship to the Lord in this time. This song is meant to be more a song to give you a time of reflection. You can think, you can meditate about the words, you can pray, you can ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything in my life where I am moving away from the light of your love towards the darkness of hatred in my life? God, is there anything in my life that I need to let go of? Is there any person in my life that I need to choose to forgive? And so this time is just a time for you to just reflect and be in prayer with God. And then I'm going to come up and I'll close and I'll release us. But just take this time to reflect. Let me pray, and then the team's going to play and we can just move into a time of reflection together. Jesus, I thank you so much that you are a God who forgives us. I thank you so much that you are a God who doesn't want us to have the chains of bitterness and resentment and hatred and unforgiveness on our hearts, God. So God, I just pray that this morning that your Holy Spirit would do work in our lives, that you would set us free from whatever it is that we're holding on to, God. Would you just lead us into surrendering that to you? And would you just take that weight off of us, God? I feel like for some people, it feels like a weight. And I just pray that you would just remove that weight from them, God, that they might be able to breathe again and that they might be able to begin to experience the freedom that they have not been able to live into, God. So we just pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us as we reflect in this time, that you would lead us to how you want us to respond. We just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the world. One for whom you loved and gave your son for humanity. increase my love. So help me to love with open arms like you do. Love that erases all the lies and sees the truth. Oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. Oh, how you love us. From the homeless to the famous and in between. You formed us and you made us carefully. Cause in the end, we're all your children. So help me to love with open arms like you do. Love that erases all the lies and sees the truth. Hold out when they look in would see you, even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. Oh, let all my life tell of who you are, and the wonder of never ending love. Oh, let all my life tell of who you are. You're wonderful and such a good Father. Oh, let it all my life tell who you are. And the wonder of your never-ending love. Oh, let it all my life tell who you are. But you're wonderful. Such a good Father. Oh, you are wonderful. Such a good Father. So help me to love with open arms like you do. Love that erases all the lies and sees the truth. Oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. And even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love.
As we close, if you need to just stay in this space for a bit and spend time in prayer, you're welcome to do that. But if you want a quiet kind of place, you can be spend time in prayer. I just want to encourage you, there's a prayer room just outside the doors here, and there's people there who would love to pray with you if you want someone to pray with. And so I encourage you to just utilize that if you just know that you need to spend a little bit more time in prayer this morning with the Lord. And now my prayer for you is that this week that you would experience in greater measure the love of God and the freedom that that love can give you. God bless and have a great week.